Good morning, everyone. We're going ahead and call the Senate Committee on Judiciary to order. And I want to thank everyone for being here. Today's Tuesday, the 27th of February. Today is a work session day. We have 8 bills that we hope to consider today. And I'm going to just going through the agenda, what we will be doing, because we're waiting on some paperwork on a couple of the bills. We're going to start at the second bill, which is 4008. And we will continue with the next two, which is 4050, 4056, and then we're going to jump to 4097, 4116, 4149, come back up and grab 4094, and lastly, hopefully everything will be in on 4087. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and open up a work session on House Bill 4008A. Chana?
Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, House Bill 4008 prohibits the use of racial or ethnic data in the calculation of projected future earning potentials in damage awards in civil actions. There is no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. This bill is ready to move.
All right.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 4008A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Thatcher moves House Bill 4008A to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And I think I'm going to sign Senator Dimbro, unless there is someone else that's in the Senate side that we need to be considering.
Mm-hmm. No. Chief sponsor.
All right. We'll close the work session on 4008A. We'll open up a work session on House Bill 4050A. Chana?
Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, House Bill 4050 is the measure that moves the crime of cockfighting relating to implements of cockfighting into the crime of participation in cockfighting. Additionally, the measure clarifies that exempt activity list in ORS 167335 does not create an exemption to the prohibition on possession of animals after conviction for an animal abuse crime. And this bill has no amendment. It's ready to move today.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chair? Yes. All right, I move House Bill 4050A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Thatcher moves House Bill 4050A to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And Senator Wagner, I'd like for you to please carry 4050A.
My pleasure.
Yeah, get you a little criminal work here. We'll close the work session on 4050A. Husbandry as well. We will go into a work session on House Bill 4056A. Whitney?
Thank you, Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee. House Bill 4056A designates 10% of asset forfeiture proceeds for a scholarship program for children of deceased or disabled public safety officers and specifies eligibility requirements for the scholarship. It also allows scholarship program changes to be operative for applications submitted on or after July 1st, 2018. There are no amendments, and there is an indeterminate fiscal impact and an indeterminate revenue impact.
All right, and the chair will take a motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, move House Bill 4056A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Thatcher moves House Bill 4056A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And Senator Thatcher, will you carry?
Sure.
We'll close the work session on House Bill 4056A, and we're going to drop down to House Bill and open up a work session on House Bill 4097A. And Chana?
Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, House Bill 4097A allows the presiding judge in a judicial district to develop a court facilitation program to provide litigants with educational materials, court forms, assistance with court forms, information on court processes, and referrals to other agencies and resources. It also allows particular counties with populations over 700,000 people to enter into governmental agreements with OJD to provide law library services or contract with associations for those services. There are no amendments before you today. I will say that there is a fiscal impact that has been posted on OLIS on this. There were $7.4 million in the general fund already allocated for this purpose. It does not need a referral to Ways and Means, but that money is out there being used at this time, and there is no revenue impact.
Okay, Mr. Chair, move House Bill 4097A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Thatcher moves House Bill 4097A to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Discussion. Senator Bence first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank the folks that have tried so hard to support this bill. I'll be a no on the bill. Here are the reasons why. The section one of the bill fails to reference ORS 9.815, which imposes upon our counties the obligation to operate free libraries and to provide free library services. And sadly, language in line 8 does not reference that statute. It should have. And I apologize for not doing the work on this earlier so I could have brought an appropriate amendment. The second reason I oppose this bill is because those of us who tried cases understand that there is an odd balance that works, no, odd is not the right word, a necessary balance tension between lawyers on the one hand and judges on the other. And it has to do, of course, with the fact that we lawyers are advocates and the judges are not. This bill is a reflection of a transition from paper and books over to electronic services, which confuses a bit the necessary preservation of that necessary recognition of that necessary tension in our system. And what it does is it places too much authority in the hands of the judicial department without an appropriately balancing offset in the hands of those of us who are advocates. This could have been managed by inserting into Section 1 and a provision that would have given the attorneys through law libraries some sort of say in how access to electronic data is going to be guaranteed. And sadly, what's going to happen here is exactly what's reflected in this document. Our judges have been placed in incredible, horrible, awkward position to not only be judges but also to be administrators. And so they spend 80% of their time administrating and 20% of their time judging. And that administration is going to outweigh the value that they bring to our system as being arbiters of facts. This bill is a reflection of the emergency nature of that of the situation they face. The only way one can approach this, though, is to have appropriate balance placed in the way we allocate monies for electronic access to what I'll call justice, which of course is the information reflected in those new types of media. So, Mr. Chair, what is attempted by this bill is a very good thing and necessary, but it lacks the proper balance to protect our system. And I've been there, I've done that, I've been through this. It's very difficult for me as an older lawyer having practiced 40 years to get my head out of the old way of approaching access. But that's not really the issue here. The issue is, as we develop the new way of access through electronic media, that we maintain the appropriate balance in the parties to our judicial system. This bill does not. So it'll be a no. Thank you.
Other Senator Lithicum.
I had conversations with my county law library folks, a couple of them, and they didn't care because the 700,000 population limit, right? It will take decades for my five counties to add up to 700,000, let alone a county at an individual level. But nevertheless, the comments were with regard to ensuring that counties have the ability to manage these law libraries and to not withdraw authority from those. And if I understand this correctly, this puts the authority in a different hat, and therefore I also will be a no.
All right, other discussion? Senator Thatcher.
I don't know where I'm at on this one, because there's good points brought up on both sides. I do think there needs to be help for people representing themselves, and I don't know if that can be accomplished through the law library system on its own or if we need to go to this system. The comments that Senator Bence just articulated give me pause, especially when it comes to the balance. I'm not sure, but I don't want it to look like a partisan thing. So I'll probably vote yes, but reserve it to change my vote on the floor. So there you go.
Senator Dimbro.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So as someone who lives in a county of that size and represents constituents in it, I've really come to represent, I've really come to appreciate the outreach efforts that that the Multnomah County justice system has been doing, in terms of, what we're talking about here is what will be a facility in the new county courthouse, but there have been a lot of sort of outreach efforts into all parts of the county, and judges holding listening sessions with constituents to hear how they feel about the judicial system. Are there ways in which the judicial system could be fairer or be perceived to be fairer? And I really see what's being proposed here as being in line with that kind of thing, trying to make people feel that the justice system is something that they can come to understand and have a place in and get a fair shake in the courthouse. So I really see this as a very good step forward, and I'm happy to support it.
Any other comments and questions? All right, we have a motion before us to adopt House Bill 4097A with the due pass recommendation to the floor. Any, besides the two that have objected, which is Senator Bence and Senator Lithicum, is there any other objections to that motion? Seeing any, motion carries. I'm going to go ahead and ask Senator Dimbro. I'd like for you to carry 4097A. And what I'm going to do is I'll go back up to 4008. And what I'm going to do is ask Senator Gelser to carry 4008A.
Thanks.
All right. With that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 4097A. And we'll open up a work session on House Bill 4196A.
4116A?
Did I say that wrong? I did. 4116A, excuse me.
Thank you, Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee. House Bill 416A makes modifications to the distracted driving law that was enacted in 2017. For example, it adds an exception to this offense for use of a two-way device while operating a vehicle wider than the lane of travel, a vehicle transporting livestock, a slow-moving vehicle, or a pilot or safety vehicle used to assist these vehicles when the two-way radio device facilitates safe operation of the vehicle. It also prohibits enhanced classification of this offense for prior convictions that occurred before July 1, 2018. There are no amendments. There is a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
All right. Senator Patrick.
All right, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 4116A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Thatcher moves House Bill 4116A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Any objections? So ordered. And on 4116A, the chair will carry that bill. We'll close the work session on 4116A, and we'll open up a work session on House Bill 4149A. Whitney?
Thank you, Chair Brzezinski. House Bill 4149A prohibits a prosecuting attorney from conditioning a plea offer on a stipulation that an existing law is unconstitutional. It also specifies that these prohibited provisions and plea agreements are void and unenforceable. It also prohibits a court from conditioning a defendant's release on a defendant's waiver of appearance at trial. It has an indeterminate fiscal impact and no revenue impact, and there are no amendments.
All right. Chair will take a motion on 4149A.
All right. Chair Brzezinski, I move House Bill 4149A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Thatcher moves House Bill 4149A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Any objections? So ordered. And what I'm going to do is hold off on carriers because I want to see how we play out on the next two, and I'll come back to assign a carrier there. So I'm going to go ahead and open up if we're ready for House Bill 4094A. And Chana?
Chair Prasansky, members of the committee, House Bill 4094A is the relating to courts bill from House Judiciary Committee. It has two components to it. One is to make confidential affidavits in support of a petition for approval of a settlement when the case involves a minor or an incapacitated person. This goes through the probate process, and the probate court reviews it for reasonability. The second part of it requires disclosure of whether a person who is nominated to serve as a fiduciary in a protective proceeding, such as a guardianship or conservatorship, has been removed or surcharged in a different proceeding. You have the A5 amendments, which clarify that a person nominated as a fiduciary must disclose or report if that had a loss that resulted in a surcharge, or if there was a similar violation of a similar statute in another jurisdiction. There's also an A6 today, which removes the provisions related to confidentiality of affidavits.
All right, so I am looking for that one right there. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and ask for a motion for the, and the, just for the record, we are in a work session on House Bill 4094A. I said we're ready to go, and I wanted to make sure everyone knows we're in the work session. And so I will take a motion on the dash A5s.
Chair Prasansky, I move to adopt the dash five A5 amendments into House Bill 4094A.
All right, Senator Dembrough moves for the adoption of the A5 amendments into House Bill 4094A. Discussion. Any objections? Senator Thatcher has raised her hand. Is there anyone else objecting to the introduction, or excuse me, the
The amendment, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm good with the amendment.
Okay.
Withdraw that objection.
All right. So I'll ask the question again. Is there anyone opposed to the adoption of the A5 amendments into House Bill 4094A? Not seeing any, so ordered.
Chair Prasansky, I move House Bill 4094A as amended by the dash A5s to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Dembrough now moves House Bill 4094A as amended by the A5s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Now discussion. Senator Thatcher.
The risk of sounding like a big meanie, I'm going to be a no. I'm okay. Used to it by now.
Right, Senator Bentz, next.
Were you looking at
me? Well, I'm just looking down. I don't know how many meanies we're going to have here today.
Mr. Chair, I'll be a no also, and I join Mr. Hinkle in his position on this bill. It's a confusing bill, but my thought is that I think he appropriately stated my concern, and that is that we have systems in place that will allow us to protect the confidentiality of these records if we choose to utilize them, and so I'd rather have the default be open course as opposed to otherwise. Therefore, I'll be a no. And Mr. Chair, I have to say, I've not spent the time on this that I spent on other bills. And so if I get a moment before it comes to the floor and get a chance to review it in more detail, I may change my vote. But at this moment, I'm a no.
Okay. Other Senator Lithicum.
I'll just warn you of a possible meaning. I actually really enjoyed the constitutional no court shall be secret, but justice shall be administered. I love that concept. And so that draws me towards a no on this. However, the proponents raised great issues and concepts, and I'm still weighing the pros and cons.
Okay. So my perspective on this one at this point is that we have what I'm going to call a one-off. And I mean that in the sense that you're talking about a special class of, I'm going to say, plaintiffs, individuals that have been wronged, and there's been some type of settlement that has been proposed. Because these individuals are of a special population, they have a guardian or someone who's overseeing their affairs. And because of that, we want to make certain we have the checks and balances in place to ensure whatever they agree to is in the best interest of that that individual that has the guardian or whoever is in the conservatory. So because of that, it has to go to the probate court or a court for review. And this is the part for me, is that balancing part. And I agree and I believe that our court system needs to be transparent, and it should be transparent, but I also think there are sometimes an exception to that. I've come to the conclusion, based on what I've heard, that just because this person who has been wronged has a special needs of having a guardian appointed, that they should not stand any different than any other plaintiff that can actually have their record and the settlement sealed, that doesn't have to go through a court review. And so I've reached the conclusion, I feel, that under these narrow circumstances, that it is appropriate to give the protection on the confidentiality of the affidavit. Now, what we've heard in the testimony was the affidavit does, in fact, go into very specific information regarding the plaintiff, the settlement arrangements, and other very sensitive information that I feel, in a normal course, for those who are not under some type of a conservatory or a guardianship program, have the benefit of not having that exposed to the general public. So this is one of those ones that I went back and forth, and I've come out on the side that this, for this limited purpose, that these reviews of these settlement agreements, that the affidavit itself should in fact be held as confidential. And it seems to me we are at a stage, based on different courts and different counties giving different answers, that we as the legislature need to set some type of guidelines so we have uniformity across the state. So that's why I will be supporting the bill. Other comments and discussion?
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess one comment. I would agree with everything you said, but I just wondered, one comment that I heard during testimony is this the way to do it, or should we be suggesting a change to the Constitution with this, you know, this carve out for these people to make sure that they're protected and do it that way?
Well, I think the other way that it could be done is through a redaction process. The only concern about the redaction process, I could see where you would not have uniformity across the courts, across the state, as to how a individual judge may rule as to what they think should be redacted versus another county. And so that's why I thought a bright line was appropriate. The suggestion of actually, in this case, we taking the initiative and referral to the voters, I mean, that's something that could be considered. But we have a bill before us now that provides for this process. And so I guess, are there any other comments before we call the question? Senator Vince.
Thank you. Thank you. And like many here, I agree with the chair's remarks. The one thing I would say is that I want to go back to Mr. Hinkle's testimony, where he pointed out that this is an issue of what is our default position. And our default position should always be for openness. That should be our default position. And in my practice in these situations, I never had any difficulty obtaining an order of the court for appropriate protection of what I thought should be kept from the public. I never had a problem getting a protective order, ever. And so the real question here is, what's the default position? The default should be for transparency, always, always. And even in situations like this, because there are circumstances where the facts brought out in the affidavit and otherwise would be of considerable interest to the public without raising the issues of confidentiality. Therefore, I would argue for the default to transparency and put the burden upon those of us who are in this business to move to protect our clients, because we can. And the judges, I have, at least my experience has always been, the judges have been more than happy when you point out the need for confidentiality to provide it. So that's, and I understand the close call.
Yeah,
truly do.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And now we've had a couple of statements made regarding, I guess I'm going to call what is required under the Constitution, referring to Charlie Hinkle's testimony. I did ask and request from LC an opinion regarding that process and that procedure and those statements. So that was one of the pieces of paper I was waiting to get. We have it, and so I've released it to Channa, which will mean it will become part of the record. But I was asking if Channa, if you'd be so kind to just review what LC has stated.
Certainly, Chair Przanski, members of the committee. LC has concluded that this does not violate Article 1, Section 10. A few points that they brought up is that Article 1, Section 10 applies only to adjudications and does not apply to all aspects of court proceedings. And it's not clear that this would fall within the realm of adjudication. It may be outside of the entire sphere of Article 1, Section 10. They found that in a similar situation, that this sort of evidence did not create a public right to view, or this particular provision in the Constitution did not create a public right to view evidence admitted during a proceeding. Second, they also said that there is more latitude given to courts when they are dealing with vulnerable participants, and they may take actions as may be necessary to protect vulnerable participants in judicial proceedings, including victims from harassment or embarrassment. So the courts can protect sensitive information without violating Article 1, Section 10. There is also mentioned that there is a process in place where a court could, upon a finding of good cause, release this information to an individual.
Other comments, Senator Vince?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I did not reference the Constitution in my remarks because I had not done that research. And that's why, in my first set of remarks, I pointed out I might want to do more. But that does not change my thoughts at all on this.
Right. All right. Any other comments? All right. We have a question before us at this point, and that is to send House Bill 4094A as amended by the Dash Fives to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And I'm going to ask for a voice vote on this one, please.
Senator Benz?
No.
Senator Denbrough?
Aye.
Senator Gelser?
Aye.
Senator Linthicum?
No.
Senator Wagner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Thatcher?
No.
Chair Przanski?
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. And Chair will carry House Bill 4094A.
And Chair, may I ask that the council's draft be put on old list? I'd love to see that, and I may change my vote on the floor.
Yeah, it will be. That's what I put on the record since I've released it. It will be part of the official record. All right, with that, we are close the work session on 4094A. And we'll open up a work session on 4087A. And Channa?
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, you may remember 4087A we heard over a week ago. This was the first House bill we heard in committee. And it specifies a process for creating or attaching a possessory lien to an automobile. We found some technical difficulties in this bill, and a small work group got together and did some very diligent work in an attempt to get to the intent of this work group. And so today you have before you the A8 amendments. They revise the section of the measure on possessory liens and specify that a person may not create, attach, assert, or claim a possessory lien unless the person performs services in accordance with other statutes that have requirements embedded in them for what an auto repair shop must do, such as giving an estimate of work and not doing unnecessary work or not charging for unnecessary work. It requires a person creating or asserting the lien to have a valid surety bond of no less than $20,000 prior to doing work on a motor vehicle, but excludes those that include franchise car dealerships, towers, and those who are taking care of abandoned vehicles. So those folks don't have to have a lien. The measure then goes on to create a process to recover if a person does take a car under an invalid possessory lien.
All right, thank you. And the chair will take a motion on House Bill 4087A.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the A8 amendments into House Bill 4087A.
All right, Senator Thatcher moves adopt the dash A8s into House Bill 4087A. Discussion. Senator Bence first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Did we have in testimony regarding the cost of the bond? And someone testify to us what a $20,000 bond would cost.
I don't remember having testimony, but we do have Mr. Fuller here. Daryl, could you share some light for us?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Daryl Fuller on behalf of the Northwest Auto Trades Association, a member of the group, work group. This bond doesn't exist in Oregon, so we don't know exactly what the bond is going to cost, but based on what the bonds cost in other states that have them, of course, it would depend some on your credit rating and the size of your business, but we estimate that it'll be somewhere in the $250 to $400 per year range to have the $20,000 bond.
Question?
Yes.
Daryl, does the fact that we don't have them simply mean we haven't required them, so thus they haven't been available, now they will become available?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bence, that's correct.
Thank you.
All right, other questions or comments? All right, regarding the adoption of the A8s, is there any objection to the adoption? Not seeing any, so ordered. Senator Thatcher.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 4087A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Thatcher moves House Bill 4087A as amended by the A8s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. All right, so let me go ahead and assign what I wanted to do, and I'm going to ask Senator Lithicum, would you be willing to carry this bill 4087A to the floor?
Certainly.
All right, Senator Lithicum will be the carrier on that. I'm going to go back, and Senator Bence, I'm going to ask that you carry House Bill 4116A that I had signed to myself, if you'll do that. So at this point, this is what I have for the bills that we've passed in the order that we heard them. 4008A will be carried by Senator Gelser. 4050A will be carried by Senator Wagner. 4056A by Senator Thatcher. Chair will carry 40 Senator Denbrough will carry House Bill 4097A. Senator Bence will carry 4116A. The chair will carry 4149A. He'll also carry House Bill 4094A. And then Senator Lithicum will carry 4087A. All right. Folks, thank you very, very much for all the attention that you've given during this short session. This will conclude the work that we have in the sense of bills to work. We are looking at having at least one day,
Friday morning,
this Friday, to do an informational hearing. And you want to go over the topics for people to know what we're looking at?
Certainly, Chair Brzezinski. Members of the committee, at 8:15 a.m. on Friday morning, we'll be having a presentation on campus public safety officers, as well as an update on Measure 11 statistics.
I think mostly pertaining to the juvenile system.
At what time? 8:15 a.m. We'll be posting an amendment later today, hopefully, an agenda later today.
All right. So before we close the committee for the day, is there anything else that we needed to cover? All right. Again, thank you all very much. And we're adjourned for today with an expectation that we'll be here on this coming Friday for informational hearings. Thank you.